This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Hour number two of the Diehards, SB Nation Radio, Pepe Linehan. Did our baseball segment. We got basketball coming up, hockey coming up, NFL coming up. We need to talk about Let's Talk Wheels. And I don't mean the show with Matt Peralt here on this very network.
Vroom, vroom.
I'm talking about NASCAR announcing today, Linehan. I know you're fired up beyond comprehension.
Hang on, I put a big dip in my mouth.
It's going to resume its season without fans starting May 17th at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina with the Premier Cup Series racing four times in 11-day span. So you want sports, you've got sports.
Why don't they just have them instead of doing laps? They're going 500 miles, right?
Yep.
Why don't they drive from Boston to, like, North Carolina?
Well, I don't think they're going 500 miles. That's,
all right,
that's
200
the
miles. Drive
500.
From here to New York. Or make them go to Maine in the winter. I got friends in Maine that could run the pit crew for them.
The most important thing, Linehan, is May 17th, Darlington Raceway, South Carolina. Are you tuning in? I mean, do you like get your spread going? You get the George Foreman with your eggs flipping?
I'm going to tune in on the 16th. That's how much I'm into this right now. And if I, why isn't anybody, listen, you're the marketing expert in this town. Why isn't anybody catching on to my idea? One of two things.
Go.
One car goes the other way, or one car goes in reverse. Who doesn't watch it?
I think that's.
Who doesn't watch it? Answer the question.
I think that's as our Spanish audience says, no, si. No bueno.
No, si.
No bueno.
Mr. Coche, go back, Wadzo.
No.
Mucho rapido.
All right, so NASCAR's coming back. UFC's coming back. UFC's coming back May 9th. So yep. are you fired up? Sports come back. And you have golf.
Yeah, I'd be excited. I want to be able to watch the Red Sox play every night on TV or a hockey game. That's all. Right. I don't ask for a lot.
So baseball or hockey?
I watch some hoop too. But if you right now tonight, we should be probably watching the Celtics, Bruins in the playoffs here in Boston. The Red Sox playing, and the Patriots playing tennis.
But you're missing. NASCAR's coming back, dude. You should be off the charts.
Listen, two words. Vroom vroom. That's all you got to say. That's the secret code. That's like you can't shake hands anymore or high five anymore. You just look at your fellow NASCAR guy. You go vroom vroom.
I'm giving you two words.
Secret handshake.
Ian Thompson.
Vroom vroom. I've driven with Ian Thompson before. He wouldn't make it in the NASCAR.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Hey, crazy Linehan. Earlier I asked you about two guys getting in the octagon. My buddy Mike D said, hey, what about Belichick and Brady? Would you pay to see that?
I told you right now I want to see Dikembe Mutombo. And Angel
Stop
Cordero.
It. Stop it.
Ian Yin.
Stop it.
Yeah, I think Mutombo. I like him.
Yeah, there you go.
Joining us on the Progressive guest line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. I guess we're bringing in Ian right now.
Yeah, I'm deciding to take this station over right now. Make this a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah,
Pep, go take a walk outside. Put your mask on, screw.
That was the softest launch ever.
Yeah, I get that a lot, Ian.
Hey, Ian and Linehan in the listening audience. My buddy Mike D texted me. NASCAR sucks, and eggs on the Foreman grill sound great.
There you go, so, man.
Ian,
Ian,
what do you think? So Linehan was talking earlier that he likes to cook eggs on a Foreman grill. Have you ever tried that?
You know what? I don't eat eggs. When I was 2 years old, I think I was told I had a rotten egg, so
no,
I'll use the Foreman grill for just about anything, but I won't do it for eggs.
Stupidly, right. You were called a rotten egg, and since then you haven't eaten.
Yeah, well, ironically, yes.
Hey, Ian, before we start, you know, you got a lot of fans everywhere. I get texts all the time. My phone blows up when the great Ian Thompson's coming on. Could you say a shout out to your favorite little sick little Zippy, the kid in Maine who listens to you all the time and just worships you?
Zippy, brother. Not to mention Chrissy.
Yeah, they're there.
Zippy, the two greatest non-graduates from the University of New Hampshire.
Class of 90 imaginary, Fred. Now they live in Bedrock as Fred and Bonnie.
Hey, Ian, you are a friend of the show, NBA expert, covering the association for decades, author of The Soul of Basketball. Talk a little bit about playing NBA basketball this season, Ian. Obviously, nobody has the answers on whether or not sports are coming back and whatnot. But what do you think of this new idea of the NBA playing in Orlando at Disney World, at the ESPN Worldwide Sports Complex? It seems like it's a no-brainer if you're going to do something like this. The infrastructure's there. The transportation's there. The hotels are
Plus,
there.
It's the happiest place on earth.
I mean, ESPN and ABC are owned by Disney. I mean, this seems like a no-brainer.
You can sneak the women in there.
What do you mean?
You know, this whole idea of quarantining professional athletes for 2 months, and they're gonna keep the virus out. I mean, Max McGee, before the first Super Bowl, went out and got drunk all night. When's the last time you ever heard of any professional athletes observing curfew? And now that we're going to, I mean, I want to see the movie, the documentary that comes out like 10 years after they try this.
Well,
it's going to be spectacular to think that this is going to be like a germ-free zone for 2 months and no one's going to get in, no one's going to get out.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, the curfew won't be a problem because there's nothing's open. They won't have anywhere to go.
yep. Nicky'll be there.
Do you think that plan is just ridiculous, quarantining people in the same group place for a month?
Oh, no, I love this plan. I really, really want to do this. I think this is – and, look, they're under a lot of pressure, obviously. They got to make some money. The players – the players want to play. They've already found out that they're down 25% of their income for this year, and everybody wants to get back on the court. I think nobody wants to do it more than LeBron James, who I'm convinced believed he was going to win the championship this year. And if they don't play, he's going to have one stolen from him, basically. And I would think in his mind, that's what he's thinking. So, yeah, they're going to try everything they can to play. And I just can't wait. I wish we could flick ahead 10 years and hear all the stories that are going to come out about what was really happening.
10 years. I'd take 10 months right now at this point.
10 minutes.
Which scenario do you think is the best that works to get the NBA back in action?
Well, I just don't think they're going to play. But
really?
If they
I don't
do,
either.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I have a very pessimistic view of this whole thing because we just haven't tested anybody and we don't have enough tests. And the government just isn't taking control of this situation. And so nobody, whenever they do test people, they find out that a lot more people had it than they thought.
And, well, let's stop
and
testing.
Then there's different rules in different places, and it's just going to, I just don't see that if it keeps getting worse, that the public is going to allow special testing to go on just so basketball games can be played when people are dying. I don't see, like right now we're still in the early days of this, and so people are saying, yeah, it's possible to play sports. But imagine if it gets worse, and then the NBA is asking for all these special privileges for testing and everything. And I don't think the NBA will ask for it if it gets bad. So I just don't see it happening. Now, if somehow it were possible to be done, then, yeah, you put everybody into one spot, so they're quarantined, you know, supposedly, you know, apostrophes and all that. Supposedly, they're quarantined, no fans, and it's just a made-for-TV thing. You know, I think I was on with you guys before the NCAA tournament, and I was thinking if they could have just played those games, the ratings would have been through the roof, you know, and that's what it would be if they were an NBA tournament.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Joining us, friend of the show, NBA expert, author of The Soul of Basketball. And if you haven't read that book, you have plenty of freaking time right now, so go and buy it right now. The Soul of Basketball by Ian Thompson.
Ian, I've read it twice.
Ian, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we're sitting here talking about restaurants and bars and all these businesses that can't have, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 people in there, and they're going to have, you know, 50, 75, 100, maybe even more with these teams and the media folks and the trainers and the coaches and all these people that go along with these teams. I just don't see it happening. And then, as you mentioned, getting the special treatment, if you will, that these millionaire athletes are going to get testing above people that need testing. I just don't see it happening. I hate to say it, but these sports aren't happening this year. They're just not.
I totally agree, and I don't think if Adam Silver sees this coming, if he sees that there are bigger priorities out there, that this is a dire time in the history of our country, he's not gonna want to play. He's not gonna ask for special privileges at a time when people are in real need of testing and special attention. So I think he's only going to push for it if it's a no-brainer kind of thing. Yep. If things are getting better and it won't hurt anybody to do it and people will be happy to see them play, then yeah. But if people are not happy to see them play, then he's not going to do it. And Pepe, I want to point out the marketing genius of you.
Wait a minute.
Start that again so we can get that recorded so we can use that as a promo. Go.
I'm going to buy a billboard, and it's going to say, you got enough freaking time. And that's going to be how I'm going to try to sell the book. You got enough freaking time.
How about this? What else you got to do? Reading and stuff.
Yeah.
Ian, what other books can they find from you?
Yeah.
I'm going to put a picture of Zippy up there with it.
Now you're talking gold.
Ian, we were talking earlier about The Last Dance, the ESPN special with Michael Jordan, the four episodes that have aired. I'm curious, obviously, you went to you saw the Dream Team, you were there live on 92. Should Isaiah Thomas been on that original Dream Team? Because obviously the controversy going on that Michael Jordan kept him off and all that stuff. Give us the scoop, because you were there, you know the dirt. What happened there?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt Isaiah Thomas should have been on the team. There were four great players at that time, and he was the fourth, and he should have been on it.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, there were concerns that Michael Jordan was whether he was going to agree to be on the team or not, and they had to ask Magic Johnson to talk him into it and all that. So, you know, and by then Magic had already retired from the NBA because he had the HIV, and apparently he was already angry with Isaiah because Isaiah was supposedly undercutting him. So I understand the personalities of it. I mean, so much in sports is about personalities and those kinds of disputes, and those can be just as big as anything else. So I understand why they wouldn't want him. In hindsight, you say, oh, he should have been on it. But at the time, when they're trying to do something that had never been done before, and Michael Jordan had already won his gold medal, there was no reason for him to go get another one. But they really needed him. So I can just imagine that they wouldn't want to give him any reason to say no. So I don't think he ever would have had to tell anybody, I don't want Isaiah on the team. I think they would have guessed it.
Okay.
And they would have just done everything they could on their own to try to make an environment that would make him happy. But what about the timing of Michael Jordan's life commercially? I mean, every single step along the way, he's come along at the right place, right time. Now, of course, he's done everything right to take advantage of it.
A lot like my selfie.
But, yeah. I mean,
when I
open up the dictionary to that, it's your picture, Mark.
Yeah, right, under a lot of words.
Right, yeah, right, as he's cooking eggs on the George Foreman grill.
Hey, I was ahead of my time. Wait till they steal that.
Right under Zippy's picture. But here he is. You know, his documentary comes out, and there's absolutely nothing else to watch.
Yep.
You know,
awesome.
and so the numbers are going through the roof again, and he's big all over again. It's just amazing commercially how things break for this guy.
Ian, and knowing you for as long as I have, and you made me think of a story from those Olympics that you talked about how, remember we ran into Charles Barkley once, who always listed himself at like 6'9 or whatever it was. What was his height during the Olympics when they did it for real?
6'4" and 5'8". And yep. I think the guy led the NBA in rebounding as a power forward.
Yep. 6'4".
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. And Magic was 6'7". He's always listed as 6'9", but they did the real heights, and he was 6'7".
There you
crazy.
Go.
Crazy. Hey, Ian, before we let you go, again, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Everybody is home right now, and everybody is trying to find something to do. So what should they do?
They got enough freaking time. They ought to buy the soul of basketball.
Duh.
What is the name of it again?
It's called The Soul of Basketball. You'll be able to see it on billboards in every town wherever you live.
In Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It has a lot of pictures
in it, right? And where can they buy this said book?
You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places where they deliver it to your house. You don't have to go to the store and put on the mask and all that stuff.
But I like
you don't have to wear a mask while you're reading it either, because if you do wear a mask, then no one can see your lips move.
Ian, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you later on down the line. Stay safe, buddy, okay?
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All right, The Soul of Basketball is that book. Quick T.O.
Ian wins best Ian.
NHL coming up next with Curtis Pashelka on the Progressive Guest Line. Keep it right here. It's the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Yep, you got Pepe and Linehan. Let me tell you about our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So you're going to talk about me.
O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, Linehan.
Much like myself.
The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. I know you always get it done the first time, right?
Yeah, I'm
right?
Generally about the eighth time, to be honest with you these days, but now that I've got some time to work on some things in my lab.
Cool. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts. Better prices every day. Going back to the Progressive guest line, Progressive, making it easy, of course, to bundle your home and car insurance.
Bundle.
Get your quote at progressive.com today. Friend of the show, he covers the San Jose Sharks for the Mercury News, the San Jose Mercury News, covers the NHL as well. Curtis Pashelka is on the line. Hey, Curtis, welcome back to SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's been a while. How are things out in San Jose? Everything safe? What's happening?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's kind of gotten used to the shelter-in-place order that's been here for about a month and a half. So, you know, you try to get into a routine on most days and you know, but in work from home. So I think everybody's kind of used to the procedure so far. And hopefully we won't have to do this for too much longer anyway.
All right. Let's ask the hard-hitting question then. What is your routine for the every day?
Well, I try to...
When's the last time you wore socks? That's my question.
Oh, well, that's...
I'm looking at about February 9th.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No kidding, right? But, yeah, I try to get up around 7:30, 8 o'clock every day and go to bed sometime around 11:30 or so. And,
there you have it.
And try to eat dinner around the same time and get your work done during the day, and that's about it. So, yeah.
All right, Curtis, we got your routine. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Drop the puck. Hey, Curtis, how do you think this is going to end up? You hear 100 different scenarios. You know, the original plan of playing in, like, Manchester, New Hampshire, and other cities that isn't going to fly. What's the best-case scenario that you think could happen to get this game back on the ice?
Well, the NHL seems to be pretty patient. I mean, Gary Bettman was saying today, or it might have been yesterday, that they could even start next season as late as maybe December. So I think the NHL is going to try to do everything it can to get try to finish off the regular season in some fashion. I don't know if that means playing 82 games or maybe it's just 76 games or what have you, but from every indication I'm getting is that the league really is kind of hell bent, for lack of a better word, to get going and to finish the season and award a Stanley Cup to a team. So my guess is, I think they're gonna, if everything goes right, they'll start playing again at some point in July, and then try to have a playoffs in August, September, or perhaps even as late as October, and try to figure things out after that. So. The thing is, revenue is so important to the NHL and to a lot of its teams. And I think they're going to they have to exhaust every single option they can before they officially decide to cancel the season. So I think they're going to find a way to play at some point.
Do you see a scenario where they're playing in the host cities, or is it one place where everybody, like what baseball's talking about originally with Arizona and Florida or something like that, up here in the Northeast, Boston and New York, it's going to be awfully difficult for them to start opening rinks when restaurants aren't open.
Exactly. Right. Right. I mean, that's obviously the challenge. And, you know, the word is that, you know, cities like maybe Edmonton, maybe St. Paul, Minneapolis, or Minnesota, you know, maybe a Columbus or, you know, Toronto, if that situation is doing okay. I mean, you hear all these kind of maybe pod city type situations where, you know, you have a group of teams gather, in one place and try to play out the rest of the regular season at least and then go from there. So, I think you got to kind of take it as it comes and then see where the coronavirus is maybe starting to, you know, the cases aren't quite as severe as there are in some other places and kind of go from there. So I think a lot of it's wide open, but if I had to guess, I'd say they maybe try to pick four cities and with NHL, buildings in them and try to play the games in there.
Quote by Save on Home Insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Joining us on the Progressive guest line from the San Jose Mercury News, covers the San Jose Sharks and the NHL, our friend Curtis Pershelka. Curtis, is there a team or two out there that there's a huge advantage to come back now after this break? A team that maybe was on the slide?
Yeah, real good teams.
maybe a team that maybe had some injured players that can now come back? Is there one or two teams that stand out that say, hey, you know what? This break may benefit a team to kind of, you know, sneak in where when they were playing the games before, they didn't really have a chance because this player was out or they were on the slide or for whatever reason?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I look at, you know, a team like maybe Winnipeg. I think they would be a team that would really be anxious to get back because they were just starting to get healthy, you know, by the end, by the time that the league put its season on pause. I mean, they were just, and it was just starting to roll. So, and if the NHL is going to go to a situation where they just want 16 teams in the playoffs, and you bet. I mean, Winnipeg's going to want to get back in it because right now, I think as it stands, they're not in a playoff spot. So they'd like to get back and with a full healthy team and see if they can kind of make a run to get into a playoff spot. And, you know, maybe some teams out east, might be in that same situation. So, I mean, there's a few teams out there. And I think that especially if you're on the outside looking in as far as a 16-team playoff bracket, that would love to get back and see if they can make a run at it. I think this time off has helped out a lot of teams. You're going to need 2-3 weeks of a training camp to sort of get everybody help everybody get back in shape, and then once after that happens, then you could potentially have a really good, exciting stretch run here before the start of the playoffs. A
couple minutes left. It seems like months ago, years ago, since the trading deadline, Joe Thornton rumored to go to right here in Boston, said he wanted to come home. Why do you think that? Did Joe want to be moved, or what held up any kind of movement from him? The money?
Well, I don't know if it was the money. I mean, I think Joe is not making. You had a $2 million cap hit this year, so I'm not sure if that was necessarily a big deal. But I just don't know if Joe had a certain amount of teams that he would like to have gone to. I think Tampa Bay was on that list, and I think Dallas and one or two other teams were Colorado, maybe even. And I just don't know if the serious interest was there from those teams to pick him up. I think Doug Wilson was sort of willing to be flexible as far as a return for Joe Thornton, but they weren't just going to give him away. So I think definitely Joe was disappointed that nothing really transpired. They were able to trade Patrick Marleau to the Penguins and get a couple of draft picks back, but. And Brendan Dillon too. So, it all depends on what teams are willing to give up to get him. And, you know, I just don't know if there was really enough serious interest from the teams that Joe was looking to go to sort of make a deal happen from that standpoint.
Yeah, real quick, minute left. Where, if Joe Thornton comes to a team like Boston or some of the contenders that you talked about, Tampa Bay, what is he now? Third line wing, third line center?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'd fill in nicely in a depth role like that, maybe a second power play unit too. And, I think you'd be a guy who would fit in pretty seamlessly to any dressing room you would go to. So, at this stage of his career, a guy can play 14, 15 minutes a night and help you out a little bit on the power play, provide some leadership in the room, too. I think that would be a good addition for any team, really.
Hey, Curtis, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule from getting up and going to bed.
I'll see you at the President's Day Trophy Parade here in Boston.
Hey, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, guys. I really appreciate it. Take care.
San Jose Mercury News, Curtis Pershelka. Quick TO NFL next.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
This show is flying by like the month of April.
Yeah.
No, I really think the month of April. What's, I mean, tomorrow's May.
What's that poem? 50 days has April, 83 days has May.
Show's flying by. I want to do another 2 hours.
If I was working with me, I would think it would fly by too. Working with you, try being in my world. Ask football. He'll agree with me.
I'm thinking 2 hours. We should just stay on another 2 hours. Just keep talking. Maybe they'll keep us on.
Why don't you do that?
Let's go to the Progressive guest
line.
Talk
loud. I'll be in my car.
Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Our friend of the show, New England Football Journal, and rotoplanner.com, Mr. Dr. Football, John Serenitas. What's up, Teach?
What's going on, fellas? How are you tonight?
We're doing all right, man. We're plugging away. We've talked about all the major sports.
Are you sure you're doing all right? Linehan sounds a little taxed.
Yeah, I get that a lot, John. Don't worry about it, buddy. That's got nothing to do with
it. Just who he is.
That's got nothing to do with the virus.
You're talking about 2 hours going by quick, and he sounds like he's been there for 20 years.
Yeah,
hey, you've been in this movie.
Again, have you seen him? Come on, you know him. And we've even broken down NASCAR, so we need to get to NFL.
One car goes the other way. Stop. Every week I watch. Yeah. One car goes the other way, Doc. You watch?
Do I watch what, NASCAR?
If one car goes the other way every week, why don't you watch it?
I don't watch it. I'm not interested. Look, here's the deal, man. If I want to watch something go in a circle, I'll just watch my neighbor's dog run around in its backyard for 2 hours. I'm good.
All right. Well, you guys are not NASCAR fans, but I just can't wait for
two
May,
words. Vroom, vroom.
May 17th, Darlington Raceway. I can't wait.
Yep.
I'm kidding.
That's fake optimism right there, if I've ever heard it.
Hey, what teams won days 2 and 3, and which teams failed? Give us a couple. In the NFL draft.
I think when you look at who won, I love what Baltimore and Denver did. Denver, to me, is a playoff team right now. They got exponentially better last weekend. I love what Baltimore did. What's amazing about Baltimore is you never see them moving around, whether it was Ozzie Newsome and now Eric DaCosta. You never see them trying to trade up or trade down. They did a couple of years ago when they traded up to get Lamar Jackson, but that was rare for them. They let the board come to them. I thought they had a good weekend. I know it's easy for people to pile on the Packers. I'm going to say the Packers had a bad weekend, but I have a feeling you're going to ask me about them, so I'm going to change my tune a little bit from what it was last Thursday night. I thought that they had a bad weekend on paper. Another team that I would say didn't have a great weekend on paper, dare I say the New England Patriots, they raised some eyebrows with a couple of their picks, so I thought they could have been a little bit better, particularly on day 3.
Yeah, Patriots, obviously, we were surprised they didn't pick a quarterback. I had been told by people that Eason might have been their guy, but they blew past him, blew past everybody.
Well, they were having flashbacks of Tony, Mark, so
yeah, exactly.
They didn't want to go down that road again. I was a little surprised, to be honest with you. Yeah, you know, I mean, look, it's typical Belichick, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we think we might know what he's going to do, and then he just gives us the middle finger and says, nah, just when you think you figured it out, I'd change the question, as Roddy Piper would say. You know what? I'm surprised, but again, it's the Patriots. And I think what it comes down to is I think you saw how the board was shaping up. I think once they got past the fifth round, I think that they made the decision to focus on other positions. Obviously, they had stacked their board a certain way, so there were certain quarterbacks that were still there, and they appeared that they were going to be there after the draft, that they felt more comfortable going the UDFA route and bringing in the two quarterbacks that they did. But, yeah, I was surprised because I thought for sure, especially leading up to the draft, I thought that they were going to at least take someone day 3. But, again, it's Belichick, and they didn't.
You mentioned Eason and his former teammate Fromm. You surprised, Dr. Football, both these quarterbacks fell as far as they did?
No, you know what, Pep, I'm not surprised. I think in the case of Jacob Eason, there's just not a lot there. You know what I mean? Like, he played his freshman year at Georgia, tore up his knee, had to sit out a year, goes back home to Washington, starts last year for the Huskies, really runs hot and cold. He had some great moments and some big throws in big games, but then there were times when he just was wildly inconsistent. The talent is there, but this is a guy like a Jordan Love who's probably going to need to sit for a couple of years and learn how to play the position fundamentally at that level. In the case of Jake Fromm, look, everybody loves Jake Fromm, and everybody will line up and come up with reasons as to why the production wasn't there last year like it was in 2018. And he did lose a ton. I mean, his entire skill group was gone. But I think in the case of Fromm, it comes down to physical limitations. I think the combine really hurt him. The lack of arm strength at the combine, the hand size, the height, all that stuff cost him last weekend. Now, with that said, Buffalo ended up taking a flyer on him, and that could be a pretty good decision because I do think Fromm has the potential to be a pretty good long-term backup spot starter. But I don't have these visions of glory like other people do when it comes to Jake Fromm.
Big news today, Andy Dalton getting cut in Cincinnati. A, were you surprised? And B, what number will he wear for the Patriots this year?
No, I was not surprised. And B, he won't be wearing any number for the Patriots because, how are they going to fit him in? They've barely got over $1 million on the cap. They don't have enough money to sign their picks right now, let alone Andy Dalton, unless he was willing to come in here and play on a Jameis Winston type of deal, and they move some things around to free up the money. I don't see him coming here. Is it out of the question? No, it's not. I think a better fit for him is probably Jacksonville, familiarity with Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator there. Probably more of an opportunity to potentially play, especially if Gardner Minshew struggles. I don't see him coming here, but then again, who knows? I mean, with Bill Belichick, we thought he was going to take a quarterback last weekend, so nothing's a given with him.
You know, bouncing around, different subject. It's a big thing here in New England. The Patriots Hall of Fame had the candidates this week, and I'm with you. I saw you tweet about Bill Parcells. It kind of blows my mind that people around here, is it just that they're too young and don't realize how important he was to this franchise? It wouldn't be a franchise.
Right. Mark, I couldn't agree with you more, and I don't understand it. And the sad thing is, you know, Tommy Curran had an article out today from NBC Sports Boston, which he talks about the fact that if it's up to the fans, he's never going to get in.
Yep.
And I don't think he is either. If it's going to be left up to the fans, he's never getting in. I just don't understand where this disdain for the man comes from. So what that he was 32 and 32? I think people forget the shape this organization was in between 88 and 92. That's what bothers me. Between 88 and 94, they had four different owners. Like, you mean to sit there and tell me that him coming in here when he did in 93, giving this organization instant credibility, this was not exactly a destination place for free agents and coaches. People didn't want to come here. They were the Buccaneers of the AFC. So don't sit here and tell me that he didn't do anything. I don't care what his record was. Within 4 years, he took arguably the worst franchise in the league. He made him a playoff team and took him to a Super Bowl. And he gave them instant credibility. And he was part of the decision-making process that brought several key players that were foundational players for the Belichick-Brady dynasty. So don't sit there and tell me that he doesn't belong. It's a bunch of nonsense.
That was my next question, that people don't realize how many of the people that the starters on defense, especially and people that everybody assumes, young kids that Belichick draft picks, they were all Parcells guys.
Right. Well, and the people that are Parcells detractors will tell you Bobby Greer drafted those guys. Yeah. Cut the crap. No, he didn't. I think people read way too much into the comments he made on the way out the door about shopping for the groceries. He when Orthwine hired him, he had a lot of say in personnel. He essentially, when it comes to the 53-man roster, was the final decision maker. The bottom line is, I think people around here love to – there's a lot of people around here, first of all, that act like as if the Patriots actually started in the year 2000. They forget that the team was around for 4 years before that. And they also forget that if you take away that window from 84 to 88, they were pretty bad for most of their history. So, again, it amazes me how people forget the impact that he had here. He laid the foundation for the Patriots teams of the last 20 years. If people don't see that, then they weren't paying attention when he was here. And that's a shame because he did a lot to put this franchise in the position that it's in today.
I know you said a lot there, but all I got out of that was the Buccaneers of the AFC East. And did I mention that Bruce Arians in his last three seasons has a record of 22-25-1? He's 7-9, 8-8, 7-8-1. Oh, in the last ten years, the Buccaneers are 53-120. The team's gonna freaking stink. All right, I'm just glad you brought that up.
Yeah, you're confused. So.
Quote, buy, save on home insurance, Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Dr. Football, John Serenitas from New England Football Journal, rotoplanner.com, and a friend of the show joining us. Hey, Dr. Football, we know you are a stake owner, an owner of the Green Bay Packers. You mentioned them earlier. Obviously, they have a guy named Aaron at quarterback, and they drafted Jordan Love. They have another guy at running back named Aaron, and they drafted A.J. Dillon. What am I missing here?
You're not missing anything. Look, when I was with you last Thursday night, as you well know, I was pretty animated about the Jordan Love pick. But then when I saw what they did Friday night with A.J. Dillon, and then I saw what they did Saturday by adding these offensive linemen, it became abundantly clear to me that Matt LaFleur wants to play the same way the 49ers, the Ravens, and the Titans play. The Packers want to be a more physical team. They want to run the football. They want to be more of a downhill team on both sides of the ball. This really, in my opinion, has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, there's probably some friction there, particularly at the beginning of last season. But I think this is more about how Matt LaFleur wants to play rather than let's get Aaron Rodgers out the door. Sure, you don't take a Jordan Love if the long-term plan's not to make him your starting quarterback. That being said, if Aaron Rodgers is willing to buy into this style of play, he might actually get back to a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. But chances are he probably won't, and he'll probably be out the door within the next 2 years. But I still think when you look at their draft as a whole, this is how I came around to it. It's more about the way LaFleur wants to play. You got to remember, he came from Tennessee. He wants to pound the ball, control the clock, play action passes down the field, play good D, good special teams. It's still a recipe that can get you to the bowl, and I think that that's what they're looking to do there. But again, people are trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here with this whole Aaron Rodgers thing and him possibly being traded.
You and I are probably two of the only people around that missed spring football this past season, but locally here, BC, I think you're a fan like I am of Jeff Hafley, the job he can do at Boston College. I know Ryan Day a little bit. He raves about this guy. What are your expectations there?
Well, look, I mean, I think it's a slam dunk hire by Martin Germond and the BC administration. You know, there's a honeymoon period right now. Hashtag get in. Everybody's excited. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jeff Hafley to win right away. Now, it's been a good spring from the standpoint that they've been able to bring in some transfers. It has not been a good spring locally for them, though, in terms of recruiting. Michigan continues to raid the state and pick up some of the best recruits in the state. So I think Hafley has to be able to curb some of that. And the best way to do it is to just win. You got to win and make the program a little bit more attractive for kids in Massachusetts that have other options. And I think if you can do that, yeah, you'll be in the conversation. I'm excited about him. I think he could do a really nice job here. He's assembled a really good staff. I was able to go to one of their early spring practices and see them in action. I love the way they coach, but he's got to win. The days of going 6-6 and getting into a lower tier bowl are over. The bar has been raised, and he and his staff need to meet that higher bar. They got to win 8 or 9 games here consistently if he wants to stick around.
I think he's going to stick with Ryan's playbook and throw the football around a little bit here, try to get some people excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you make a great point, Mark. I think he's got to go away from the ground and pound of Dazio days. I think they got to open it up more because I also think that's going to attract more 3 and even the rare 4-star kid to be willing to come up here if they're a skill player. I think he's going to have to come out and throw the football, spread it out, make it more appealing to not only to players to come to Boston College, but to also score points because that's where the game is going today.
Hey, Doc, final 30 seconds, and it's an impossible question, but when does the NFL season start, if it does?
I'm to hell with it. I'm going to say it starts on time. Something tells me it's going to start on time,
no,
but
it's
with
not.
No fans.
No way. Not going to happen.
I say it starts on time. No fans. The NFL.
Drop the puck. I'm with you.
Hey, Doc, we'll talk to you next week. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, Doc. Throw strikes,
buddy.
All right,
fellas. Thank you.
There he is, John Serenitas, New England Football Journal and rotoplanner.com, friend of the show. Quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up. He's Linehan. I'm Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards right here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Final segment here. The pandemic's really getting to me, Linehan, and I'm really
come.
I'm really enjoying the show, and I don't want it to end. I want to do like another
I'm
7
only,
hours.
That's because I'm the only human you see besides your family.
It's killing me. Like, yeah. Can we just stay on?
I've never been so popular when I come in. If you could hug me, you would. 6 feet away. You'd like a pogo stick.
All right, let's tell our producer, Andrew Carlson. Hey, we just got a call from David Gow, the owner of this company. He said just to keep these guys on. Yeah, he's enjoying it. What do you think? Just keep us on. Forget everybody
three
else.
More hours? You guys got
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Ask him when the check clears. I'm in, buddy.
Hey, what was the what's the one thing you can't wait to do when this whole thing's over? By the way,
go to a game, watch a game. I mean, this is the longest I've been in my life without being. I live at Fenway Park. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you do. Park.
Yeah, exactly. I just threw that out there for my fans in Wheeling, West Virginia.
All right.
But I just want to watch games. You know, I just miss it. Hockey, like I said, right now it'd be one of the busiest nights ever.
I know.
Hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs.
So when you leave here, obviously you're very sad leaving me.
I am. Duh.
When you drive home, yep. what turns on your TV? I mean, obviously, what do you put on? I know you're gonna flip the George Foreman grill and cook some eggs.
No, that's in the breakfast.
What goes on your TV?
You know, I do a lot of clicking through. You know, I mean, I just can't believe how bad TV is. I can't tell you one show that I watch. I watch
Nothing.
Cop shows. I've been watching old Law and Orders.
You're not watching anything? Like,
nah.
Come on.
Nah. I'm too busy, working in my lab trying to cure this pandemic. You know?
I love it. You're too busy.
It comes down to me. It's going to be the likes of me. Let's see who's making fun of me in a couple of weeks when I come up with the antidote.
That's a statement that's never been said in your life. You're too busy.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Andrew, great stuff as always, buddy. Thank you so much. Thank
you
to all our guests.
Wash your hands.
Everybody be safe.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next Thursday.
See ya.